Welcome to Wednesday night at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us.
We're going through the book of Daniel. We're in Daniel chapter 7. We're going to look at that chapter tonight. And suddenly in the book of Daniel, everything shifts. Because up at this point, in each chapter should have been one great story after the next of Daniel interpreting dreams and Daniel saying what was going to happen and Daniel being delivered from a lion's den and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being delivered from the fire. Just one great story, chapter after chapter after chapter. But now we come to chapter 7 and now the rest of the book just changes. And everything becomes a little different. And in your reading, what you have to understand is chapter 7 and 8 happened before chapters 5 and 6. All right? So it's not a linear thing where he just keeps going forward. It now shifts backward. Daniel's probably maybe in his 70s, maybe a little younger. And up until now, Daniel had interpreted dreams. And now Daniel has dreams and visions. And in reality, chapter 7 is where all of you folks like to go. 7, 8, 9, all this end time stuff, right? Yeah, so you know there's a number. You can text questions up on stage if you'd like, and so fire away. Just understand that for most of your questions, probably what you'll hear is, I don't know, okay? Because so much of Revelation, whenever you're looking at end times, you have to hold your convictions and everything kind of loosely at times because they might think this and say this, but we don't know. And so let's go ahead and begin. It begins with Daniel's dream. That's where we start. That's how the chapter opens, Daniel's dream. Verse 1. During the first year of King Belshazzar's reign in Babylon. Remember Belshazzar's the one who saw the handwriting on the wall. Remember Daniel had a dream and saw visions as he lay in his bed. And he wrote down the dream, and this is what he saw. In my vision that night, I, Daniel, saw a great storm churning the surface of a great sea with strong winds blowing from every direction. And the four huge beasts came up out of the water, each different from the others. And the first beast was like a lion with eagle's wings. And as I watched, its wings were pulled off. And it was left standing with its two hind feet on the ground like a human being, and it was given a human mind. Then I saw a second beast, and it looked like a bear. And it was rearing up on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth and between its teeth. And I heard a voice saying, "Get up, devour the flesh of many people." And then a third beast came up. The third strange beast appeared, and it looked like a leopard, and it had four bird's wings on its back, and it had four heads, and great authority was given to this beast. And then in my vision, wow, I saw a fourth beast, terrifying, dreadful, very strong. He devoured and crushed its victims with huge iron teeth and trampled the remains beneath its feet. And it was different from any of the other beasts, and it had 10 horns. And I was looking at the horns. Suddenly another small horn appeared among them, and three of the first horns were torn out by the roots to make room for it. And the little horn had eyes like human eyes and a mouth that was boasting arrogantly. And in your vision, your majesty, whoops, let me back up. Let me stop. All right, so that's where Daniel was. Now, if you want to interpret that section, go back to Daniel chapter 2. If you'll remember Daniel chapter 2, remember he had a dream of the statue. And there was the head that was gold. It was all different, and the statue of a man, and it was frightening, and he saw it. And in fact, Daniel has predicted all of this, and he's so accurate in what he's predicting that a lot of biblical scholars think that Daniel was written as history far later in the years because everything he's saying and seeing is happening. And he has this dream before the other dreams take place. And so notice chapter 2, your vision, your majesty, you saw standing before you a huge shining statue of a man. It was a frightening sight. The head of the statue was made of fine gold. Its chest and arms were silver. Its bellies and thighs were bronze. Its legs were iron and silver. the arms and his belly and thighs bronze, and its legs iron, his feet. It keeps jumping. Don't do this again to me. Combination. Verse 44 is a verse that's going to happen because it happens in chapter 2 as well. So when you go to chapter 2, you have this statue, remember? No, you probably don't, okay? And so what happens is, remember Nebuchadnezzar, it's told he went crazy. He ate in the field as a beast, and if you'll remember, his hair turned like feathers of an eagle. And then he became a man. That's the first animal that he saw. The next kingdom in Daniel was the arms of chest of arms and silver, the Medo-Persian Empire. It conquered Babylon in 539 BC under Cyrus. And the second beast looked like a bear because the Medo-Persian Empire was kind of split. It kind of overcame certain ones. The dominant one was the Medes. And Daniel wrote these words, and he wouldn't have known any of this, but that's what happened. The third empire is the belly and thighs of bronze. That was Greece. In this picture that we just read, it's like a leopard. Alexander the Great was an incredible warrior. He was able to conquer the known world in 12 years. And by then, he just had it all. A leopard, fast. But it had four heads, remember? And after Alexander the Great died, shortly after he'd conquered everything, four rulers took over what he had conquered. And so Alexander's kingdom was divided that. And so they remain strong, but they keep battling each other. Now the fourth one is really the tough one because it doesn't look like the feet of clay. It's kind of the Roman Empire, but it's not the Roman Empire, and it kind of has tendencies like it. And it's just you and I just have to be comfortable with not having a clear explanation of it, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And so when we see that, don't also forget in chapter 2, during the reign of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all these kingdoms into nothingness, and it'll stand forever. And so that the Roman rulership has continued on. It's the last rulership that conquered the whole world. And so when he sees these dreams and these beasts, it's a very similar pattern to what the dream was by Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2. And so Rome was a strong empire. It ruled for a long time. Its influence was felt for thousands of years. And God said, I'm going to do that. But this fourth beast, he says, it's not like the rest. It's different. And out of that kingdom will come the Antichrist. We good? I'll move on before you can do anything. So we talk about the rock and the mountain. Nobody, not human hands. It's going to be there forever. The great God showing the king it'll happen. All of that will take place. Next, heaven's described. So Daniel has this dream of these four beasts that come down, pattern similar to chapter 2, and then he's immediately taken into another realm, and he looks into the heavenly realm. And so he says, as I watched, as thrones were put into place, and the ancient one, God, sat down in to judge, and his clothing was white as snow, his hair was like purest wool, he sat on a fiery throne with wheels of blazing fire. Have you ever seen something that you've never seen and tried to describe it? That's what Daniel's trying to do here. That's what John tried to do. You see something, and that you only can use the words that you have and the word that you know of. And so a river of fire was pouring out, flowing from his presence. Now notice this. Millions of angels ministered to him. Many millions stood to attend him. That's a lot of angels. The court began its session, and the books were opened. And I continued to watch because I could hear the little horn's boastful speech. So you have this scene in heaven. The little horn is continually, remember, looks like a man's got eyes, boastful, arrogant speech. And I kept watching until the fourth beast was killed as its body was destroyed by fire. The other three beasts had their authority taken away from them. They were allowed to live a while longer. They had influence throughout their years, even when their kingdom was gone. And as my vision continued that night, I saw someone like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. That'd be Jesus, right? And he approached the Ancient One who was led and was led into his presence. And he was given authority and sovereignty over all the nations of the world so that the people of every race and nation and language would obey him. And his rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. Describes the judgment of the nations. It's a time where we see God judging. It's a time where Satan is in his last effort trying to overthrow the kingdom of God. And yet Jesus Christ comes. He's the conqueror. He's the one given the authority and the right to judge all the nations. Thanks for being easy on me tonight. Daniel is disturbed. So you have this picture, first verses, first section. Here's the nations that are come up. It's history. It's historical. It happened. You can go to a history book and read it. Second section, heaven. All these nations are coming and going, but there comes an end. And God will judge everything that's written down, everything in the book. And God will have the final authority and the final say-so no matter what the Antichrist or Satan does. And so Daniel's disturbed. I would be too. Man, you see something like that, that's frightening. And I, Daniel, was troubled by all I had seen. And notice, my visions terrified me. Wow. You and I think, oh, that'd be really cool to see. Listen, if God let you see some of that stuff, your knees would be knocking, you'd be fainting. Amen. Terrified me. So I approached one of those standing beside the throne and asked him, what does all this mean? He explained it to me like this. These four huge beasts represent four kingdoms that will arise from the earth. Remember, he saw the sea. The sea is peoples, nations. All these beasts coming up out of that. They would rule the earth. And in the end, the holy people of the Most High will be given the kingdom and they will rule forever. Now, who are those holy people? Us. Us. And so Daniel says, look, I don't get this. What's going on here? Can you tell me? And he says, let me give you a little synopsis of what's taking place. I'm not going to give you big detail, even though you and I want the big details, don't we? We want to know every little minutia of what's going on at end times. We're not comfortable with a big picture. We want to know everything. Kind of like when your wife's talking to you and you want to give her the big picture and she, never mind. Okay. And so the guy goes, look, that's the nations ruling the world. They're going to rise from the earth. They'll be there. But in the end, God wins. And the holy people will take over and rule with him forever. Pretty simple. The fourth beast it described. Now, this gets to be really fascinating. But again, hold it lightly. Because Daniel's going to tell, notice what he says here. He goes up and he says, I wanted to know, just like you and I would, right? The other three, okay, I get, I can handle that. But I want to know the true meaning of the fourth beast. It was so different from the others. And notice, it was so terrifying. It had devoured and crushed its victim with iron teeth and bronze claws, trampling the remains beneath its feet. It was lacked mercy whatsoever. It just ran over people. And I also ask about the 10 horns on the fourth beast's head and the little horn that came up afterwards and destroyed the 3 other horns. Now, you and I would like to know that too, wouldn't we? Just let me give you a spoiler alert here. This is about all we're going to know. All right? Daniel's asking about it. He wants to know about it. He's asking the question. Notice the answer he's given. Because if we want to know this, we don't get an answer better than what Daniel gets. this horn had seemed greater than the others, and it had a human eyes, and its mouth was boasting arrogantly. And it was, I watched, and this horn was waging war against God's holy people and was defeating them. And until the ancient one, the Most High, you know, he came and judged in favor of his holy people. And then the time arrived for the holy people to take over the kingdom. And he said to me, "This fourth beast is the fourth world power that will rule the earth. It will be different from all the others." So in other words, when the Greeks ruled the earth, they did it militarily. They took it over. When, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians ruled the earth militarily, it ruled and everything else, it's going to be different from everybody else. It's not going to be like them whatsoever. It will devour the whole world. In other words, it's going to rule the whole world. Not just pieces, all of it. Trampling and crushing everything in its path. There will be no one who will be able to stand up to it. Its 10 horns are 10 kings who will rule that empire. Kind of an alliance. Another king will arise different from the other 10. Now, here's where most people think this is the Antichrist. In other words, there's 10 that are ruling, he comes up and he rules, and he will subdue 3 of them, and he will defy the Most High and oppress the holy people of the Most High. He will hate the Jews and he will hate the Christians. He will try to change their sacred festivals and laws. They will be placed under his control for a time, times, and half a time. How long is that? 3.5 years. So we're looking at principally the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period. Then I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. It had 7 heads. And 10 horns with 10 crowns on its horn. Now, this is Revelation chapter 13, all right? I want you to notice the similarities between this and Daniel and what Daniel has to say. So he sees the beast. It rises up out of the sea. Where do these kingdoms come from? Out of the sea. What's the sea represent? Oh, people, don't make me start again. The world, the peoples, the nations. Coming up out of there, 10 crowns. Notice that's the same type of thing. Revelation correspond. And written on each head were names of blasphemed God. And the beast looked like a leopard, but it had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. Same 3 ones mentioned in Daniel, right? So the speed, the power, the might. You know, if you go to the Babylonian Empire, their animal figure was the lion. America's animal figure is the eagle. Russia's animal figure, bear. And so all of these that are there. And the dragon gave the beast its own power and throne and great authority. And I saw that one of the heads of the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery. Remember a couple Sundays ago back we were going through the series, the Antichrist dies, comes back to life, right? And seemed wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed. A false resurrection, if you will. The whole world marveled at this miracle, gave allegiance to the beast, and they worshiped the dragon for giving the beast such power, and they also worshiped the beast. And who is as great as the beast, they explained. Who is able to fight against him? And then the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemes against God. What was the horn doing? Speaking blasphemes against God, right? And he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for... How long is that? 3.5 years. And he spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. So what we have is this fourth beast, a picture of the Antichrist, rising up out of the alliance that is formed, that is going to conquer the world in the end times, that is going to be over everything. It will seem okay for a while. It will seem like everything's in order. The world will seem like, okay, finally we've got our act together. Finally, because if there's one thing in this world that you hear and I hear, what do we want? Oh, we all need to be united, don't we? We all need to be one, right? That'll be an easy sell. Everybody will like that. And so there'll be this alliance. It'll go okay for a while, but at some point, the Antichrist will show his true nature, and he will rise up, rebel against that, and he will take control of the world and the authority. And he will go against all the people. Thus, when you read Revelation, you find out all the people that he goes after, the people being killed, the things going on, all because he's doing everything he can to get against God, to destroy God's chosen, and to destroy the people God loves. That's what he does. Wow. All right. It's pretty simple, right? Oh, well, who's this and what's that? I don't know. But the picture is similar to chapter 2. Same type of understanding. Lines up with Revelation because the Bible never contradicts itself. The Bible always agrees. So all the nations are destroyed and God rules forever. It's always positive in how it ends, isn't it? You and I got nothing to be afraid of, right? Right. So everything will be destroyed. Notice what happens. But when the court will pass judgment, angels telling Daniel, and all his power will be taken away and completely destroyed, then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the holy people of the Most High, and his kingdom will last forever, and all rulers will serve and obey him. And that was the end of the vision. I, Daniel, was terrified by my thoughts, and my face was pale with fear, but I kept these things to myself. So if you noticed as we read and went through this real quickly, it's repeated. In fact, it's stated three times. We just read one of them. Another place, remember in verse 14? He was given authority and honor and sovereignty over all the nations of the world so that the people of every race and nation and language would obey him. And his rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. Eternity is real. It will last forever. God will rule, and you and I will get to rule and reign with him. Verse 18, in the end, the holy people of the Most High will be given the kingdom, and they will rule forever and ever. Amen. What a great understanding. What a great knowledge of knowing. This is how it ends for us. Yes, there's frightening times. Yes, what Daniel saw, man, for him is scary. For us, it's scary. Well, what about this? I don't know. Here's what I do know. One day, the Antichrist, Satan, is going to put forth his last effort. And he's going to do everything he can to usurp God. Because that's what he does, and that's how he started. But God one day is going to put him in his place. And God is going to put him into captivity forever and forever and forever. And you and I, his children, his people, will rule and reign with him forever. What a great awareness. What a great knowledge. What a great hope we have. Because God is in control. And he does everything well. And we have something to look forward to. And I still go back to that as I was reading through this. Look at this. The phrase that just kind of got to me was millions and millions of angels. Wow. And here's the great thing. It's not going to be crowded. It's not like tourist season here right now. Okay? You're not trying that. You don't have to go to the early bird in order to get in. It's going to be a huge place. And God makes all things new. and he rules and reigns forever, and we get to be with him. That's why we live for him. That is called our hope, isn't it? And that is what we hope for, but we're hoping for something that is certain. If it's not certain, it's called a wish. We have hope, and God will be faithful. So tonight, what I'd encourage you to do is make sure you're living with that hope, that you know who you are in Christ, you know you're his child, and that you know no matter what happens on this planet, God is still in control, and God will bring everything under his control, and one day Satan and sin will be done away with, and you and I will get to live with him forever. Live with that. Amen. Father, tonight, thank you for the hope that you give to us. Thank you for the life that we have here and now. And thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. Thank you for the encouragement you give to us. And Lord, we go from this place tonight to live with the hope that only comes from you. Thank you for the hope we have. We go to live in it now, we pray. In thy name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for tonight's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We also gather on Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next time for Wednesday night at Faith Assembly. Faith Assembly's Wednesday night is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.